Take your Bible, please, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. Look at verse 40, a very short verse, but it's just a pinnacle verse for us to be able to look at what the Scripture says tonight about one word, the word order. One word, the word order. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, let all things be done, watch it carefully, decently and in order. Let's read it together. Ready? Let all things be done decently and in order. And tonight, that is the subject matter. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. We've heard the term, no doubt, order in the court. You've heard perhaps a judge say that, as maybe you were in a courtroom and somebody gets out of order, and so he will summons them to have order in the court. It might be that dad sometimes has to summons the family and says, let's have order in the home. Maybe sometimes a wife would look at the husband, or the husband would look at the wife and say, let's have order in the relationship. It might be that you tell your children to put things in order as they put things away. It might be good if the person taking your order, receiving your order as you're sitting in a restaurant fast food lane, if they would take it correctly and be able to write it down. We were at a restaurant not too long ago as I took those out that were contest winners for our fall campaign, and I was amazed how this young man was being able to take the orders down and wrote a little bit down but brought it back in good order. I was at another restaurant, and we had, about 10 or so people with us at that time, and there was a young lady that came up in the restaurant, and she began to take the order. She didn't write one thing down. I'm talking about not one thing down. And people were saying, I want this, but minus this. Or they would say, I want this plus a half a slice of this, or partially this, and she didn't write one thing down, but to my amazement, she came back, and she had it all down absolutely precisely and correct. She was a young lady, but she acted like she'd worked there for 110 years, being able to be that familiar with everything. But can I say we were impressed, because things were done decently and in order. People laugh at other people that do not dress decently in order, as perhaps they have, maybe not things in order, as they don't dress in a way. It might be some maybe spaghetti on a shirt, or maybe some pizza on the collar, or it might be that their clothes are not cleaned and they're wrinkled from that which is the top to the bottom, and people kind of smirk at them a little bit, and life goes on. It's something when you see parking lots where they do have stripes on the parking lots. You know, those stripes on the parking lot are put there for a purpose. Sometimes people don't know what the purpose is, as they can't pull in between the stripes, and they park cattywampus. And it might be you, I don't know, but sometimes things are not done in order. Have you ever seen somebody to stop at a red light and they don't stop where they're supposed to? Matter of fact, they stop halfway past the red light. Have you ever seen somebody that pulls and they pull, they don't pull all the way across the railroad track? And you know, it's dangerous. The other day when we were coming back from the couples retreat, I pulled behind this fellow, and I didn't realize that, my truck was not on the railroad track, but you know that bar that comes down? Yeah, I was right there, and a train just went through it, but I looked at Sylvia, and I said, oh, honey, I hope another train doesn't come through, because that thing's going to come right down and crash on top of the truck, you know, decently and in order. You know, God is a God of order. When you think about things that God does, God likes things to be done decently and order. Yeah, it's a shame today that some Christians live from emergency to emergency. They live, if you would please, from crashing down to crashing down. And so it's a shame that some people live that way. The definition of order is simply this: the method of arranging things in your life. the method of arranging things in your life. We have a couple of examples, and I'll give you some statements tonight, but let me give you a couple of examples, if you will, that's found in your Bible. You see that Paul, in Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 23, was a man of order. Matter of fact, as he was visiting different places, you see that Paul visited these places in order. If you had a map in the back of your Bible, you would see that he did not crisscross. He didn't go over here, then go here, then go over there, then back over here again. No, he did it all decently and in order. He visited Ephesus and Caesarea, then he visited Antioch, then he visited, of course, those that were at Galatia. And if you look at it, he did it decently and in order. He did not jump aimlessly back and forth. He had a plan, and he followed his plan, and that was Paul. Good example of somebody doing something decently and in order. You see the table of showbread, in the book of Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. You'll see there's different parts of the tabernacle that was supposed to be constructed in a certain way, and God gave vivid instructions, and he uses the words, two words, over and over again as he's given instructions about the construction of the tabernacle. He says, in order. He gives it that way over and over again. And then when he comes to the inside of the tabernacle in verse 4 and also in verse 23 alluded to in Exodus chapter 40. He tells how they're supposed to put the things inside of the tabernacle, and he gives instructions about it because he expects the people to be able to follow it decently and in order. You'll see that there's the church of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And Paul is using the church of Macedonia to be able to describe to the church at Corinth what they're supposed to do. Matter of fact, he uses those, if you would please, at Macedonia. And this is a small church. This is a struggling church financially. And yet he is trying to help the church that is a little bit more liquid, has a little bit more funds, and he's trying to help them, using the example of the church in Macedonia to be able to describe the church at Corinth, how they're supposed to give graciously is what he's trying to teach them. You'll note what he says here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians in verse 5. He says this, he says, but first, it says, gave their own selves to the Lord. And he's using that, if you would please, as a way to be able to encourage those that's at Corinth, talking about the church at Macedonia. And we see this, that if a person would give themselves to the Lord, everything else that they do pretty much is a byproduct, because if you give yourself to the Lord and you put him first, then everything else comes after that. God is a God that believes in order. Then let me give you some statements tonight, kind of help. Statement number one, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. And so we have a God tonight that's a God of order. He doesn't do things haphazardly. God doesn't do things without reason. God does not do things that's improper. God does not do things that is not appropriate. We have a God tonight that practices, if I may say so, what is preached in the Bible or taught in the Bible as a valuable truth. We have a God tonight that believes in order. And so because of that, we can use him as our first example as we see that God is a God of order. I'll reread, for reiteration's sake, the verse I read a few moments ago where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. If he was to hold up a mirror tonight, God himself looking in the mirror would not have to apologize, not one iota, because God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, the Bible says, now concerning the collection, it says, for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And so the Bible is talking about how the church, if you would, is supposed to come together and supposed to do things decently in order when it comes to the collection, if you would please, of the saints. That's talking about your tithes and offerings. And he says, as I've taught the church at Corinth, so do I expect you to do it as well. God is a God of order. When you think about the creation of that which is all that ever will be or ever was going to come into being at the existence of the creation time or at the time of the creation, you see that God did things decently and in order. You'll see that God did not name the animals until first they were created. God did not, if you would please, create the fish until there was water for the fish to go in. God did not give man that which was the garden until he made the man and then came the garden. God is a God that does things decently and in order. As God did things decently in order, he rested on that last day. Why? It was time to rest. We have a God tonight that does things decently and in order. Statement number next. I'm saying this tonight, that all sin can be traced back to things done out of order. All sin can be traced back to things that's done out of order. When all of a sudden the spouse gets out of order with his wife, it becomes messy. When all of a sudden the spouse, the other, gets out of order with the husband, it becomes messy. When the children get out of order, out of place, if you would please, in the place that they're supposed to be as being obedient children to dad and mom, it can get pretty messy. When church members get out of place, I've seen church members that get out of place and it gets messy. I've seen Christians get out of place with their God and their lives get all messed up because they don't have God in the proper place. And can I tell you, things get kind of messy. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, also reiterated in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, he says this, and it's something that the verse is reiterated line upon line. It is reiterated word for word, identical. It says this in both of these verses. It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So God gives, if you will, within a few chapters, if I may say it that way, of the book of Proverbs, a warning. And he says this, and it's about order. He says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's order. He says, but the end thereof are the ways, that's order, is death. Sin only comes in two categories, that which is indecent and that which is out of order. You think about things that are never decent. Let me give them to you tonight. Abortion. It's never decent. The Bible says over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He says, and I ordained thee, it says, a prophet unto the nations. I wonder how many doctors could have been born if somebody hadn't aborted them. I wonder how many nurses, our country is a country that's upside down in its finances. You like it, you lump it, it's true. Our country is spending money that they do not have. And all they're doing is printing money. But if you think about all those millions and millions and millions of babies that were aborted, you know how much that would have helped our economy if we didn't butcher those babies. I mean, I'm talking about people that would be very productive to society. And by the way, I'm talking about people, if you would, that would be science. Scientists, if you will. Scientists. I mean, that would be able to study and maybe manufacture that which is needed for a virus. No telling how many people died during the time of the pandemic when it was at an all high, that if somebody wouldn't have been aborted, they could have found the cure. No telling. And so God has never and will never be for abortion. I thank God that today Christians are standing, and today that's coming back up for that which is the Supreme Court to be able to revisit the matter. And I hope that they vote it out. I hope it becomes illegal. I hope that we do not allow anybody to butcher babies anymore. Now, may I say tonight, that's something that's not done proper. It's something that's indecent. Adultery is indecent. Adultery. When you get married, you're not supposed to go around and cheat on your wife. You're not supposed to cheat on your husband. The Bible talks about till death do you part. And by the way, that is sacred. That's a vow that you took before Almighty God as a witness to the testament that He Himself can be able to provide a way for you to be able to have a good marriage, not just a marriage, but a good marriage all the days of your life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all. And it says, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know what I find out about those that commit such crimes? Normally, God judges them in their finances. Normally, I see that happening. Well, what about this? Here's something that's very indecent, homosexuality. Homosexuality. You don't need to be afraid to say amen there. It's still in the Bible. Homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now, by the way, that was an abomination long before our government decided to change that which they call is the definition of marriage. By the way, the government has no right to change the definition of marriage because they did not create marriage. There's only one that could change and will not change the definition of marriage, and that is God Himself. Amen. And so we understand this. God says it's an abomination. Wait a minute, it's not decent. What about drunkenness? Drunkenness. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever, listen to the word, is deceived, thereby is not wise. Have you ever seen somebody get drunk? They're deceiving themselves. And by the way, they are deceived. My dad was a drunkard. My dad later on became ashamed of that when he became a believer. But can I tell you, I remember the days when my daddy would be stone drunk and it changed his personality. I've seen people that get drunk and they become somebody that is like putty. Or maybe I should say like jelly. You know, they're just all bubbly and stuff like that. My dad went that way. When my dad got drunk, my dad became quite mean. He took on a total different personality. Now, can I tell you, the Bible says this. The Bible says that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So it's not wise for you to take in a substance that's going to control your mind. It's not wise for you to take in a substance that's going to control your being. Wait a minute, what about drug use? Drug use, by the way, over the counter or under the counter. Drug use. You know a person can take drugs and become addicted to them? Did you know that? You have to be careful. You have to be careful to only do or to take that which your doctor says, and be careful because you do understand your body to be able to communicate with your doctor if things are not going the way they should. You have to be wise. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, that means I beg you. He says, this is God speaking. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God is God's withheld judgment, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, and so be careful that you do not take substances in that's going to cause you not to be able to be all that you should be for Jesus Christ. What about teaching your children that sex changes are okay? We have that being taught in our educational systems throughout the land today. Well, you know, you were born a boy, but if you feel like that you're a girl, then maybe you were. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, listen to it, male and female created he them. So you were created either male or female. Today, of course, they have the new passports that they have now generated, and they're coming out on your passport. You have a choice to check male. You have the choice to check female, or you have the choice to check X, because you don't know what you are. Well, I think if you had a decent mama and a decent daddy, they could probably tell you what you were when you were born into this world. Now, may I say tonight that, people are teaching indecent things, that a child can choose what sex they are. You don't choose what sex you are. You were born with a certain gender. What about those that practice cross-dressing? Cross-dressing. Boys that dress like girls. Girls that dress like boys. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 5, the Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment." It says, "For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Amen. All right, what is that? That is cross-dressing. Or that is making a bathroom available that any gender can go in there. And can I tell you, that's indecent. Amen. That is indecent. Now, let me help you out tonight, if I may. A girl should always dress like a girl, and a boy should always dress like a boy. Don't cause people to be confused. I've seen them. Matter of fact, I was in Walmart not too long ago, and there was a guy down at the end of the aisle. I didn't know he was a guy. He had long, flowing hair. He was dressing differently than what he should have been. And so I was at the end of the aisle, and I said, "Hey, ma'am, can you help me?" And all of a sudden, this person turned around, and he said, "I'm not a ma'am." And I said, "Well, can you help me anyway?" Hello. We had I'm all for people coming to the truth. I'm all about it. I was preaching in a cosmetology school. We go to the colleges and we would preach at all the colleges we could in the Philippines. Cosmetology school. And all of a sudden we had, I don't know, there was 8 or 9 or so that came to the service. Last service we gave an invitation to surrender to preach. And here comes one of these ladies walking down the aisle. We had 11 that surrendered to preach that night, and here she was. The pastor turned to me and said, "What do I do with that?" I said, "I don't know. It's your church. Do whatever you want to do. I'm just your guest preacher." He said, "Thanks a lot." We went down the aisle. We started shaking all their hands and got to this lady, shook her hand, and with a deep, presiding voice, she said, "Thank you." I went to the pastor after the church service, and I said, "I think there's something different there." I said, "That didn't sound normal." And he said, "Well, you're right." He said, "We'll check it out." And so he met with this person just a couple of days after that. He said, "I want to tell you," he said, That was not what you think. He said, "That was a transvestite. That was a man trying to become a woman." He said, "But got saved. When that group went in there, got saved, received Christ, came to church. God worked in his heart as God would work in his heart. He surrendered to preach." He said, "He wants to come to Bible school." He did go to Bible school. He graduated from Bible school. He's married. Brother Bell knows him. He's married. He has children and started to pastor a church. God changed him because God's word does not return void. The hope for America is God's word.
Amen.
If people would forget, "Well, this is the way I feel, this is the way I think, this is the way that I believe it should be." No. You go by the standards that has been presented in the Bible. Can I help you? It'll help you to do that because God will bless you. God will bless your marriage. God will bless your child-rearing endeavors. God will bless you as you step out and try. And by the way, God's word doesn't return void, and God's not confused. God keeps it in good order. God knows exactly what is supposed to be done and how it's supposed to be done. And can I tell you, God is in the life-changing business. Watch this tonight. I'm saying that there is some things that's just not decent. The Bible says over in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, so God, says, created man again for emphasis sake in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I've got a friend that lives close to me out in Terrell, and he stopped me, as I said in the other sermon the other day, stopped me on the way home, and he said, preacher, he said, I've got trouble. He said, my daughter is coming home, and my daughter is saying, Dad, no longer am I a female. You call me and name the boy's name. And said, I just don't know what to do with that. And I said, let me ask you this, friend. Is she saved? Is she saved? See, when a person gets saved, God will clean a lot of stuff up. God will. He'll clean a lot of stuff up. I cannot begin to tell you how God worked in my life and cleaned my life up after salvation. I cannot begin to testify how God worked in my daddy's life and cleaned my daddy's life up until he died after he received Christ as Savior. I cannot begin to testify how God's worked in my brother's lives and one in heaven tonight, but how God has worked in their lives when they took and they gave themselves to Christ and allowed Christ not just to be the Savior of their life, but the Lord of their life. And can I tell you, God can do that with each and every person if they decide to let him have good order. Statement number one, I said this. I said that God is a God of order. Statement number two, I said all sin can be traced back to things done out of order. Statement number three, things God commands should come first. Things that God commands should come first. Well, I think that this ought to come first or that ought to come first. Now, don't get mad at me, but God's not really concerned about what you think. Somebody came to me the other day and said, this is my opinion. I said, the only problem with your opinion, my dear friend, is God's not interested in your opinion. You know how parents mess things up so much with their child rearing? They get their opinions in there. It'd be nice if you just took God at his word, just do what God said. God's not going to let you down. By the way, God wrote the book on child rearing long before anybody else wrote the book on child rearing. Amen. Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, and the Lord commanded Moses, his servant. So did Moses command Joshua. How did he command Joshua? As God had commanded him. And so did Joshua, the Bible says. And he left nothing undone of all the Lord that Lord commanded Moses. So here you had a Moses, and Moses got his orders from God, and he shared those things with Joshua, and Joshua fulfilled those things. Hey, look, you ought to thank God tonight that if you got a daddy that loves God enough to walk with him. You ought to thank God tonight if your daddy's in church. You ought to thank God tonight if daddy comes to the altar and prays with you every so and again. You'll thank God tonight. God's given you some spiritual people in your life, such a godly mama or maybe a godly grandparent or maybe a friend. You'll thank God that they got the right priorities. May I say this tonight? May I say that things God commands us should come first. We ought to decide that we're not going to leave nothing undone. Then lastly tonight, keeping things in order promotes God's favor. Keeping things in order promotes God's favor. Now, let me help you again. Watch this. You might not always feel like keeping things in order. There may come a day when you get down. There may come a day when you get discouraged. There may come a day when you don't feel good. There may come a day when things are not going right. There may come a day when your emotion says to do this, but you know that God said to do that. There may come a day when you have a child that rebels. There might come a day when you have a financial reversal. There might come a day in your life where you lose a job. There might come a day in your life, dear friend, where you lose a friend. There might come a day when a loved one dies. There might come a day where you got to bury a baby in baby land. There could come a day when all of a sudden you raised your kid right, you did the best that you could, but they decided that they did not want to obey the principles of the Word of God, and they walked in their own ways. Can I say, there may come that day. There may come a day in your life where you think that you had everything figured out and everything's going to work okay, but nothing works okay. There may come that day in your life. But what are you supposed to do? Here's what he says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you know it well, don't you? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. What am I supposed to do all the days of my life? Seek him first. Amen. Seek him first. Oh, come on. There's going to be some songs that you sing throughout your Christian life, and you're going to say, that's not my favorite. Might be about God. But you're going to say, that's not my favorite. There's going to be some times when we have a preacher that comes to preach a conference and you heard him years ago or whatever, and you're going to listen to that preacher and you're going to say, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite. There might be a missionary that his personality does not, or her personality does not gel with yours. You might have a Sunday school teacher that walks the hallways of Parkside Baptist Church, and you may say, our person. You might work with somebody on the security program, and you may say, well, we just don't. You might have somebody that's sitting in front of you, behind you, beside you, up in the balcony or on the main floor, and you might say, well, we just don't gel. But you don't come to church because you gel with people. You know, not everybody's like you, and we thank God for that. But not everybody's like you. Some people laugh all the time. Some people don't laugh at all. Some people are stone face. Other people, you couldn't get them to have a straight face if you paid them a new dollar bill. You know, some people, if you would please, they're like a military sergeant. And you will do it this way, or buddy, you're going to give me 50 push-ups. And that person's talking to a 7-year-old. You know, and then some people, they're grace, grace, grace. They're floating around, floating on the clouds. Grace, grace, grace. You know, and some people are that way. Hello? You do have people that comb their hair. You do know that, right? And you have people that don't comb their hair. And you know that, right? And you have people that have no hair to comb. You know that, right? You have people that wear perfume, and you have people that wear cologne, and then you have people you just wish that somebody would introduce them to the fact that there is cologne and there is perfume. You know that, right? You have people that, you know, every time you go out to eat with them, they're going to eat at the same place and order the same meal every single time. You know that, right? Then you have other people that they don't believe in going to the same place twice. They say Dallas is an adventure when it comes to food, and I'll check every one of them out. So every time they go out, they go to a different place. Yes, and they do expect you to pay. You understand that, right? You understand there's tall people in their church, short people in their church, skinny people in their church, and other. You do understand that, don't you? You understand there's people in our church that's living in sin, and people in our church is trying to stay far away from sin. You got it. There's people in our church, every time they sing, they're going to hit every note. There's others, every time they're singing, you pray they hit one. I mean, we're all different. Every one of us is different. You have teachers that are illustrators, and you have teachers that stay with that which is the context, and it's just verse upon verse, and there's no explanation or anything like it. And there's just all sorts of different people. Now, by the way, that's what makes church church. Amen. Church is getting you ready for heaven. Amen. Not everybody's going to look like you. Not everybody's going to act like you. Not everybody's going to want to take a walk when you want to take a walk, or talk when you want to talk. That's why most marriages get in trouble. Well, honey, I'm ready to talk. You ready to talk? You said you wanted to talk about this. Let's do it now. Well, maybe they're not ready to talk now. Maybe they need to eat 3 or 4 peanut butter and honey sandwiches before they're ready to talk. Maybe 5 cups of coffee. Maybe they're a midnight talker. After they eat all that and drink all that, they will be. But what I'm saying is this tonight, I'm saying, you know, keep things in order, whatever the order needs to be in your individual life, in your family life, in your church life, in your business world, and your affairs, in your neighborhood. Keep things decently in order, and they always just simply work out better. Proverbs chapter 11, the last verse I'll read, verse 27, says this. The Bible says, he that diligently seeketh good, says, procureth favor. That means they get it. The Bible says, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. My daddy, he never understood the scriptures very much. He never read them. He got saved. And don't get me wrong, he got saved. He received Christ as Savior. But you never see Daddy opening a Bible or even listening to Scripture, or you never see him reading it. You just never would. He was of the old belief that he couldn't understand it, and so that was just him. But my daddy used to say this. He said, Michael, he said, life is like a boomerang. He said, when you throw it out, it'll come right back to you. And sometimes, if you're not careful, it'll hit you upside the head. Now, that made good horse sense to me, because the Bible says, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, can I tell you, when God gives us, to whom much is given, much is required. So the more that you know, the more you should practice of what you know. And the more that you practice that is right, what you know, the more God's going to bless you in that area of the that. Now, may I say tonight that it's important that we consider order. Order. Order in the court. Order in your life. Order in your home. Order in your friendship. Order in your marriage. Order in your child-rearing endeavors. Order in your finances. Order in the way that you treat people. Order. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come to church.